Welcome to Fostering Evolution, the Art of Giving and Receiving Feedback, Episode 28 of Co-Creating Peace, a series about conscious communication and conflict transformation. I'm Kathleen Alwigon. One of the most powerful gifts we can receive is reflection of how others see and experience us. When that reflection is positive, we feel validated. When that reflection shows us something we don't want to recognize in ourselves or is delivered in a way that is uncomfortable or unpleasant for us, we are inclined to reject or close off to that reflection, even though there may be opportunities there for us to learn and grow if we would be willing to examine and work with that reflection. Today, we'll explore this dynamic and look at ways to give and receive feedback that foster personal growth and evolution. But first, the quote for today. Today's quote is from Bill Gates. We all need people who will give us feedback. That's how we improve. I once knew an elderly woman from Portugal who used to say, "A monkey can't see its own tail." She was talking about our inability to see ourselves outside of our own perspective. That's true in so many ways, both literally and figuratively. Literally speaking, we can't see the spinach in our teeth or the crusty on our nose unless we look in the mirror. We can't see our entire appearance from head to toe and assess the impression our appearance makes if we don't look in the mirror. We need that reflection to be able to see what other people see when they look at us. Similarly, we have no way of truly knowing how others experience us unless they tell us. Of course, we have our own imaginings of how other people experience us, but that's not the same thing as truly knowing, because it's coming from our own point of view, not theirs. And when it comes to our own perspective of ourselves, we have to remember that our perspective is very likely distorted by our ego, whether our ego hyper-enhances our self-perception or unduly diminishes it. Our ego doesn't like to hear what's not right with us, even when it comes to someone having the courage to tell us we have spinach in our teeth or a crusty on our nose. Our ego often causes us to feel irritated or shamed when they tell us, even though at another level we are or should be grateful. Without that person having the courage to tell us, we might have walked around like that all day. We need others to be our metaphorical mirror to reflect back to us so that we get a more accurate view of how we show up in the world and in the lives of those who experience us. I think this is part of what one of my spiritual teachers meant when he said, "Everyone we meet is our teacher, and we a teacher to them." Feedback is all about teaching and learning. When we implement what we learn, we evolve. As I see it, there is validating feedback and critiquing feedback. This applies whether the feedback is being given or being received. Validating feedback is focused on what is working well. Critiquing feedback is focused on what is not working well. Both can be beneficial, although in order for the critiquing feedback to be beneficial, it is important to be mindful of how it is delivered. Delivered unwisely, it can be hurtful, even harmful, and will likely be rejected and its beneficial potential lost. I'll talk about delivering feedback in a few minutes. Then I'll discuss receiving feedback. Feedback can come through experience or directly from another person. An example of what I mean by critiquing feedback coming through experience is when we try something and it doesn't turn out as we hoped. That's experiential feedback that the idea isn't the best one for that application. If we can transcend our ego in that moment, and go into neutral observer mode, simply looking at the situation without bias or blame, we can learn from that experience more about what we do that doesn't work. Where the ego might react with, "That isn't my fault," the neutral observer simply recognizes that what we just tried didn't work out as we hoped, without attaching blame or shame to that observation. That can help guide us to understand what will work better. When we try something and it works well or better than we hoped, that is experiential feedback of the validating type, telling us to keep doing what we're doing. Similarly, people's nonverbal reaction to us, positive and otherwise, is a form of experiential feedback. If we step into neutral observer perspective and pay attention to how people react to us, not letting our ego distort what we see, we can learn what works and what doesn't work in how we relate to others. When we implement what we learn, we evolve. The more direct form of feedback is what people tell each other about their experience of one another. That, too, can be validating or critiquing. Sadly, people seem most inclined to want to give critiquing feedback. I think that's because people give more attention to what they see needs to be corrected than to what's going well. We expect things to go well, so when that happens, we take it in stride and we don't often think to give validating feedback about it. Conversely, because we expect things to go well, when that expectation isn't met, we want to correct that as quickly as possible. So we are driven to give critiquing feedback, and often in the most impactful way that we can. If we're not conscious in our communication, that impact can be negative, even harmful. If we are conscious in our communication, there's the opportunity to help the other person evolve. Giving and receiving feedback has a direct relationship to our universal human needs. Think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which I discussed in detail in episode 3 and referenced in several other episodes. As a reminder, those universal needs are survival, security, belonging, esteem, and self-actualization. You may recall in episode 3, I also described how our actions and reactions are an effort, conscious or unconscious, to meet one or more of those needs. The action of giving feedback can, in and of itself, meet any of those needs. We give people critiquing feedback in the hope that we'll change some behavior of theirs, resulting in one or more of our needs being met. For example, a manager may give their staff critiquing feedback as a way to meet their self-actualization need to be the best leader they can be and have the highest functioning team possible. Of course, having a high functioning team may meet many other needs for a leader as well. And if their team responds well to their feedback and becomes more high functioning as a result, they won't be as high maintenance as a low functioning team might be, which can meet any or all of those 5 needs for their leader. Again, it's important to remember that how anyone responds to feedback, whether it's validating or critiquing feedback, has a lot to do with how that feedback is delivered. So let's talk about that a bit. Remember that delivered and received well, feedback, both validating feedback and critiquing feedback, can foster evolution. Validating feedback is about acknowledging what's working well, what has been accomplished, as well as positive traits, characteristics, and behaviors that you see. You can learn more about this by listening to I See You, episode 6 of this podcast, where I discuss the power of acknowledgement more in depth. Validating feedback should be given often and freely, but must be sincere in order to be truly effective. False validation is misleading, can diminish your integrity, and usually doesn't serve to foster evolution. So that means that sometimes you may have to look a little harder to find positive things to validate sincerely, especially when it's someone you're having trouble with. Know this: stretching yourself to do so is a great exercise to expand your awareness and to help you have a broader, more encompassing perspective of a person or situation that you're upset about, rather than the more narrow perspective of focusing on what's wrong. This creates so many positive possibilities, including the possibility of fostering the evolution of the person or situation. There's a wonderful tool called Appreciative Inquiry that focuses on looking for and building upon the positive attributes in a person or situation. There are several books about it. I encourage you to explore Appreciative Inquiry. I use it often in mediation, and I also use it to strengthen my own positive psychology. I'll talk about Appreciative Inquiry more in next week's episode of this podcast. Looking for and building upon the positive attributes in a person or situation is a great first step in helping you to give sincere, validating feedback. If you feel resistant to giving validating feedback, think about the times when someone told you how much they appreciated something about you or what you did or acknowledged your skills, talents, or attributes. Think about how you felt in that moment, about yourself and about the other person. I'll bet you felt good, or at least better, about you both. I bet that it made a positive difference in your dynamic. In addition to giving validating feedback often and freely, I encourage you to give validating feedback in combination with any critiquing feedback that you give. This isn't intended to negate the critiquing information you give, but to help balance it out, to give a more comprehensive picture of the situation, and to help make it easier for the other person to hear, absorb, and be willing to implement the critiquing feedback. When we implement what we learn, we evolve. Let's look more at how to deliver critiquing feedback in ways that promote the potential to foster evolution. As I mentioned earlier, it's important to remember that the ego gets engaged whenever we receive feedback of any kind. When a person's ego gets negatively triggered by critiquing feedback, common reactions are to either strike back or put up their psychological shields, prohibiting the information from getting through to them. So, what does that tell you about how best to deliver critiquing information? I hope it reminds you of the importance of helping others feel safe hearing what you need them to hear. I and several of the guests that I've interviewed for this podcast have talked about that in previous episodes. You may feel frustrated or even angry with the person you're about to give critiquing feedback to, and you may be tempted to deliver that feedback with all the emotion you're feeling so that they really understand how important it is that they hear your feedback and change the things you want them to change. But that approach will likely cause them to go on the offensive or the defensive, and when they're counterattacking or have their shields up, your feedback isn't likely to get through to them, much less be implemented by them. If, on the other hand, they feel that the feedback you're giving them is part of a collaboration for the betterment of you both or the situation you share, and that they're being invited into a better way of doing things, they are far more likely to be open and receptive and be willing to make the changes you're inviting them to make. It's like the difference between trying to push or force someone to cross a threshold and inviting them to cross that threshold. People resist what they feel pushed or forced to do, yet they willingly go where they're invited. I hope that it tells you that your best path forward will be to take a collaborative approach with an observational and invitational style of communication. Part of the collaborative approach is being mindful to choose a time to give your feedback when you're both relaxed and can focus on the conversation. Then, from the neutral observer perspective, you share your observations, thoughts, and experiences without blame or shame in an observational tone of voice, no different than observing that the sky is blue. Next, you extend an invitation for them to make the change you hope to see, framing it positively, as Diane Grover and I discussed in episode 15 on reframing our language. You want to be as clear and specific as possible about your observations and what you're inviting them to do. There are many ways you can do this. Two of the best ways, in my opinion and experience, are with iMessages and with the sandwich delivery. I talked about iMessages in episode 10, and I'm pretty sure I've talked about using the sandwich delivery in at least one of the previous episodes, but I don't recall which one right now. Let me give you an example of how you might deliver critiquing feedback using each of these tools, and they can be combined. Here's the scenario. You have a longtime friend who you enjoy doing many different things with. You always look forward to having fun with them. The problem is that they're always late when getting together with you, which is incredibly frustrating for you. You feel disrespected and disappointed over and over again. You waste time waiting, and your money has been wasted when your friend arrives so late that you miss events you bought tickets for. Here's how you might talk about this using an iMessage. The structure of an iMessage is neutral observation, naming the impact, and making a request, all framed as being about you, not pointing a finger at them. Listen for these components in this example. One thing that I've noticed about myself is that when I'm kept waiting, when I've made plans with someone, I feel frustrated and disrespected on top of being disappointed. Would you be willing, please, to commit to meeting with me at the time we agree on? Or at least give me enough advance notice that you can't be on time so that I know what's going on with enough time to adjust or make other plans? Notice there's no blame, shame, or attack there. Just neutral observation, naming the impact, and making a request. I've found that people respond pretty well to that. Remember how I said earlier that in addition to giving validating feedback often and freely, I encourage you to give validating feedback in combination with any critiquing feedback you give? The sandwich delivery is a great way to do that. With the sandwich delivery, we start with a statement that acknowledges something positive about the other person or situation and/or acknowledges the other person's perspective. We follow that with the meat of the matter, as it were, which consists of a neutral observation and a request in the form of an invitation. The second piece of bread in the sandwich is a validation of the positive impact of the request being fulfilled, ideally the benefit to them. In the scenario of the friend who is always late, that might sound like this. I so enjoy the time we spend together. There are so many things I look forward to doing with you. At the same time, I find that is diminished by our plans being delayed or not happening at all because our schedule isn't kept as we agree. I'd like for us to figure out a way to prevent that from happening in the future. I know that if we collaborate to keep the schedules we agree on, or at least have better communication when our plans can't be kept for some reason, that we'll have a lot less tension around our get-togethers. Did you notice how that sandwich delivery also contained components of an iMessage? As with any other new tool, iMessages and sandwich delivery take practice in order to gain skill and fluency with them. I invite and encourage you to practice using them every chance you get, even if you only practice in your head at first. The benefits of becoming skilled with these tools are worth the conscious effort that it takes to practice them until they become natural for you. When we implement what we learn, we evolve. The last suggestion I have for you, at least for now, regarding giving feedback, is to remember to practice conscious communication, as I described in episode 2 of this podcast. You'll recall that the four components of conscious communication are defining the goal for the outcome of the communication, how we deliver the information, how we listen, and how we negotiate. Okay, now let's look at how best to receive feedback to foster evolution. First and foremost, remember that every piece of feedback that we receive, whether it's validating or critiquing, is a valuable gift to us. Without feedback, we would never know for sure how others experience us and what aspects of how we show up in the world work well and what aspects don't work well for us and for others. Personally, the only thing I hate worse than making a mistake in how I relate to others is repeating that mistake in ignorance because I didn't recognize the negative impact of what I was doing and nobody told me. Painful as it may be to the ego, I truly believe that the critiquing feedback we receive is a gift of immeasurable value. Our personal evolution is hindered without it. I have found that the best ways to receive any kind of feedback without my ego getting engaged are to, first, be in neutral observer consciousness, listening without bias or blame toward myself or the other person. Second, listen with the intent to learn, remembering that every person we meet can be our teacher, if we let them. Ask open-ended clarifying questions to learn more. Next, reflect back what we hear to make sure that we are understanding what they're trying to teach us. Remember that the feedback is a gift of insight and wisdom that we might not otherwise ever receive. After all, who wants to go through life with the proverbial spinach in our teeth? In that mindset, thank them for their feedback, maybe even acknowledging that it takes a certain amount of courage to give critiquing feedback. You might be thinking to yourself right now, what if I'm getting conflicting feedback from different people, or I don't agree with the feedback I'm hearing? That can certainly happen. I encourage you to keep your ego disengaged. Stay in neutral observer and look at yourself in light of what you've just learned from the feedback you received. From the neutral observer perspective, ask yourself, how well do their observations and feedback actually fit you? Remember that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Some of their observations and feedback may fit you, while others may not. Where they do fit you, own it and determine what you want to do about it. Where you feel their observations don't fit you, explore that a bit and make sure that's not your ego talking. After that, whatever observations you don't feel fit you, store away somewhere in your consciousness for future check-in, just in case you get that feedback again from someone else, which might indicate that you need to revisit your assessment that the observation and the feedback don't fit you. Ultimately, it's up to you to determine what, if anything, you will do with the critiquing feedback you are given. You may want to accept some or all of their recommendation to change something in the way that they want you to. You may want to decline some or all of it. Or you may want to negotiate some different way to remedy the situation that they're giving you feedback about. Regardless of what you decide to do with the critiquing feedback, I hope that you will see it as an opportunity to learn and grow, and I hope that you will thank them for that. When we implement what we learn from the feedback we are given, we evolve. This is a great time for me to remind you that I welcome any feedback that you have about this podcast, whether it's validating feedback or critiquing feedback. If you have ideas for episodes of this podcast or specific things you'd like to learn about conscious communication and conflict transformation, please let me know that too. I want this show to have a direct and positive impact on your life. I look forward to hearing from you with your requests for advice about conscious communication or conflict that you have in your life. I will honor whatever level of confidentiality you want in my response. I'm also happy to answer any questions you may have about anything I've shared with you. All you have to do is email me at owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. That's OWEEGON @bridgesofpeace.com. I will reply within 2 business days. You'll be able to hear a new episode of Co-Creating Peace every weekend. Join me next week when I will share more details about appreciative inquiry and how to use it. This episode of Co-Creating Peace has been brought to you by Bridges of Peace, providing mediation, facilitation, training, and communication coaching services throughout the U.S. and around the world. Learn more about Bridges of Peace by visiting www.bridgesofpeace.com. www.thearthofgiving.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always find new ways to co-create peace in your life.